Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the green semi-storm of voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. And I step out of the blue of winter. Wait a minute. At one point I did. But let's keep moving. And because Marianne is,
like spring to me.
Is right here. It's spring to you?
It's definitely spring out there.
Well, it's officially spring now. Yeah,
for sure.
You're right. Yeah.
Spring.
I bet you're happy to see that. You were really waiting on
it. I'm happy about daylight savings time, that's for sure.
Well, whatever it is, it's a reasonably lovely day. It's not cold, really, and it's a few flowers here and there. So getting a lot of them at the Coolwater Ranch. They're the red ones are all over the place.
Your what is that? The purple vine, the wisteria that takes
over
everything. I've long been saying that the wisteria vine is going to swallow up the whole house like a Jumanji vine and just...
It just might.
Yeah, because we put it right at the end of the deck, and it's just gone absolutely everywhere.
It has everywhere. It has a history of doing that over at Mealy's restaurant, which literally had completely covered on all parts of the male...
It was a pergola, right? Or did they have a pergola there?
No, that's not what it is. It's... Not that I remember it anyway. It's a
hysteria. Well, it looks very different now, that's for sure.
A fasteria or wait a minute. That's
wisteria.
Wisteria.
The,
that was close.
Patio is now part of Copper Vine Wine Pub, and it couldn't look any more different.
Yeah, very
than
different.
Than the old Maley's days, for sure.
Hello, everyone.
For sure. It is Tuesday.
Hello. Where have you been?
Well, I went to the doctor today.
Oh, yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm tired of my cough. I mean, I've been...
Oh, you've got one
I've
of those,
been
huh?
doing this since the end of or middle of January.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, because just about everybody I know seems to be chopping up everything.
Well, when it's been going on that long, I feel like it's time to check it out.
Yeah.
So I checked it out, and he said, yeah, it's kind of like what everybody's got. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was my big excitement of the day.
Yeah, not very exciting. Hey, you know, we have an unusually large amount of web stuff on our website, nomenu.com. you know which one? I've had to give rebirth to all of these things because everything is always moving. But there was one thing that picked up about a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was really struck by.
Uh-huh.
Somebody over there grabbed a book full of food-related quotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it a couple of times. I said, this looks familiar to me. And it turns out it was familiar. And the guy who had been sending them over to me, he said, I hope you, what he had was a column of nothing but these
quotes,
these just good lines involving food.
Yeah.
And I got to talking with him, and it turns out that he had been copying some of mine. So that was a great way to work that out. So we decided, okay, you can watch yours and I'll watch mine and vice versa. And we've got the website just riddled with these things. If you dig around a little bit, you'll get more EAT-related.
You dig around, there's lots to be dug.
Lot to be dug. Hey, that's
so
just...
today is National Creole Cream. Actually, it's not national. It's only New Orleans.
No?
Creole Cream Cheese Day.
Yeah, good idea. Almost gone now.
You don't
now.
Like Creole Cream Cheese, do you?
I don't. No, I don't.
What is the difference in Creole cream cheese and regular cream cheese?
Well, the cream cheese kind is a pretty good deal richer than cottage cheese, which is basically the same idea. And that's pretty much it. I mean, there's more to it than that. I guess if you wanted to make some differences come up, you could, but... it's not one of the great things, but there are people who just love it and who are in the supermarket if they can find it. Although for a while there, you could not find this product no matter where you look. Borden was the last to have it, and then even they decided, nah, we're not doing this anymore. But lately they've been coming back from some of the small makers of such things on the North Shore.
Yes.
So that's been kind of interesting.
But the question I have is, what is the distinct taste difference between them?
Okay, imagine you're eating a piece of cheesecake, but it's not very sweet cheesecake, and you were to compare that with like something that you're just in your mind, you're gonna do one of them not quite so sweet, and the other one a little.
So cream cheese is sweeter than Creole cream cheese? Creole is sweeter than cream.
Creole cream cheese and Creole cheese are pretty close to the same thing.
Uh-huh.
You could make some small distinctions, but it's not something that moves me a lot.
Well, there's one dairy for sure on the North Shore that was doing it for a while.
Uh-huh.
Motes. Motes, is that how they say it?
M-A-U-T-H-E, apostrophe S, yeah.
And they had it for a while. And I would imagine that they still have it because if you can get Creole cream cheese ice cream at the Creole Creamery, then I would imagine that they're getting it from somewhere.
Mm-hmm,
so,
yeah.
You know, I guess that. Anyway, this you liken it, though, on your almanac to something that the older generation liked, but the baby boomers not
so
much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a product
so it's another one of those old-fashioned products.
Oh, very much so on that.
Uh-huh.
I remember when it kind of disappeared. It happened back in the 1970s, maybe 80s is closer to it.
Uh-huh.
And I remember that the...
say it's more sour than regular cream.
Yeah, it definitely is. Bland.
I like that. I would kind of like that, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's more bland, you said?
Yeah, but this is something that Joe might think is fantastic and Buddy Boy would think is mediocre at best.
Let's put everybody's it out to the audience. Who likes Creole cream cheese?
Who likes Creole cream cheese? Call us and tell us.
And what is the difference in Creole cream cheese and regular cream cheese? And do you seek out Creole cream cheese?
Yeah. How about asking us?
And if you have, where have you found it anyway?
We have had some fun in the last few weeks, maybe even longer than that, talking about products that are no longer easily available, although most of them, if you get to looking for them, you do find them. Anyway, we've had a lot of fun just looking at these products that have been pretty much invisible, and so we go looking for them, and we fight them and find them, and then people call us up on the show, and they tell us the two or three ways that they have found this. Yeah, so it's kind of fun, really, and I hope you wouldn't mind calling us on the air and you tell me what you have in the way of Creole cream cheese or anything even remotely like that.
So Tom, you also have as your edible dictionary today, clabber.
Clabber. Clabber and Creole cream cheese are the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Clabber is clabbered cream cheese.
Uh-huh. You know when I found out what clotted cream was?
It came to you?
I finally found out.
Was it your father or your daughter?
I had to go to find out what clotted cream was.
You know, it always comes to things like that, and everybody is strucken.
It's whipped cream.
It's
whipped cream, and it is served with scones. And I didn't realize what it was until I had it over there, and I went, wait a second, this is whipped cream. Anyway.
Yep.
So clabber, I guess, is sort of cousin of Creole cream cheese.
Clabber is going bad a little bit, cream cheese.
It's like does it relate it somehow to buttermilk?
Not really. If you had to make a substitution, that would work. Not really well, but it will. Uh-huh. For example, I make a fairly good number of cheesecakes.
Yes, whenever
I have parties at our house. Anyway, I always make those. And they are always asking me to do that, but they insist on getting those clabbered cream jobs, whether they call them that or not.
Mm-hmm. Buttermilk.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I've done.
Well, that's kind of your big your key ingredient
yeah,
to your
I remember cake. There was one year a few years ago where I couldn't find any, you know, regular the cream cheese that you would use to make.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I found that. Buttermilk worked darn near as well. And I've used it off and on whenever I always have it in the.
We have the largest collection of old buttermilk in the world.
You do?
Here at the Coolwater Ranch, I think. Yes.
Oh, could be.
And I don't know why, because I guess Mary Lee uses it in cakes, but we have an absurd amount of old buttermilk, which you swore at one time never went bad.
Yep.
Buttermilk couldn't go bad because it was already bad, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think that there does come a point where buttermilk is too old. But if that's true, Tom, that it never goes bad, then make a cheesecake with all that old buttermilk, because it pains me to throw stuff like that away. 260-6368 is the number. We are doing, you know, the usual blathering on about food.
Oh, we could do worse than that.
Yeah, there was something in nomenu.com today, the lead story, as they
say. Lead story. I am lead story. The news coming on later.
Is about my lunch the other day.
You had lunch?
At Saba.
Saba. We had a conversation about Saba.
We had that a conversation
in the book,
this morning
yeah.
about it, yes.
Uh-huh.
And one of the topics of conversation, because this person is a business associate, colleague, and friend. And we were talking a little business about the state of the restaurant business in New Orleans, and in general, just the state of the restaurant business vis-a-vis the millennial generation. And she motioned around the room at Saba and was noting a particular clientele there.
Yeah.
And I was marveling that I had two meals that day. One of them was lunch at Saba, and the dinner would be at the Bon Ton Cafe, and that the clientele at each of those places could not be any more different. And, of course, that was true. When I arrived at the Bon Ton, it was just, it might as well have been another planet from the one at Saba. And so I'm kind of fascinated by this, and I know I've mentioned it once before, and it was probably a banana pudding with vanilla wafers dish left on the buffet called the Food Show. But I'm going to throw it out again because
All
it
right.
was really stark to me on Friday how
stark.
Different
stark
those,
on Friday
mm-hmm, how different those groups, how disparate, that's the word, how disparate those groups of people were.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if, does anyone else go into a restaurant? Well, I mean, this could be true anywhere, like a store or a church or anywhere. But a restaurant, you're there for a while to really observe by sitting in one place. So does anyone else notice the clientele, the other diners in a restaurant.
The other diners.
Yeah, with any real intensity. I mean, I do because, like I say, I'm a frustrated sociologist. But does anyone else walk into a place and you go, you know what, I just don't really feel comfortable here because I feel out of place, i.e. the other diners are completely different from you? And I don't know if that would be a reason to not go someplace, but there are restaurants where the clientele is a real mixture of people, and other restaurants where the clientele is almost homogeneous.
Homogeneous.
And if it isn't the kind of people that you are comfortable with, does that affect your decision to stay or leave? I mean, it doesn't usually for me, but I do notice clientele in restaurants, and I do think that there is a certain kind of restaurant that attracts a certain kind of person, and that in and of itself sort of perpetuates the same thing. So in other words, if you go in there on Monday, anyone else that was in there on Monday returns the next Monday because they felt comfortable, or vice versa. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number if you would like to chat about that. I just thought I'd throw that out.
Throw it right at me, but don't hit me.
What I hope will be a buffet of a show today instead of a buffet.
Oh?
That does, you would be able to help with that. 260-6368. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
And we invite you to just go to our website. It's tom@nomenu.com. However, you could just sit here listening to the show here, and you'll pick up most of what we talk about here. This is a very thick book, and I had forgot that I bought it a long time ago. The Parker's Wine Buyer's Guide. This is a guide to the wines of the world, literally. And the man who wrote this, when he wrote this, the first time I saw it, I wondered how they were going to move it to anywhere because it's so enormous. And if you ever wanted to look up a wine and you need it desperately, call me and I'll just look it up in this thing because, believe me, it is in the book. There's no missing it.
Thomas.
Yes'm.
Congratulations. Today is sort of an anniversary for you.
It is. Yeah. What did I do?
This was the day that you I referenced this thing that you were doing in a piece last week on nomenu.com about Slice, where I actually laid eyes on you for the very first time at WWIW. That's the one that was on St. Charles,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was WUBC for a while, too.
Okay, it was WWIW when I was there.
It was old music from the 30s.
It was old, that's for sure.
And it was terrific. It was a good show. I always thought it was good.
Yeah, I remember that you arrived the same evening that I had just gotten chewed out by umpteen callers for saying, begin the begine.
When they begin the begin, it brings us a night
I'm
to
sorry,
call
I just
it
didn't
proper
know
marimba.
Anything about that kind of music.
And they told to me. Yeah. I don't know the music, so you don't have to worry too much.
Anyway, you were there that night to load up or to record one of your little vignettes that you used to do.
Let's ask our compatriot.
Listeners, huh? Yeah. Doug or listeners?
Doug, was what was going on in you were running the room, the index.
Yeah, I was a DJ.
Yeah,
which is hilarious.
And there was something that got bumped out of position and you asked me to come over and if I could change whatever it needs because there's something wrong with this.
That's
and there was
like
something wrong with it. But it wasn't really wrong with it. It wasn't too bad, and I took a look at it. I didn't even have to turn it on. I just looked at it, and I flipped it over to the other side, and then we went away. You made a note in your notes that I was a nice-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
You told me that. I didn't tell that to anybody else but you. You yourself told me that.
Uh-huh.
And we were all in our 20s and trying to make life happen, and there we are. And what happens but a bunch of clabbered cream?
Yes, for sure. Anyway, today, Tom, is the first one of those that you ever did on the coffee pot. It started with the coffee pot, if this is jogging your memory at all.
Yep.
You did your first radio vignette, which is what you were there that night for, because you weren't really on the air. You were just doing these vignettes.
Oh, yeah. That was my job back then.
Yeah. And I did five of them a week. Yeah. And so you were there to do that, but your first one of these was actually something that you did today for the first time ever in 1975.
Oh, tell me so I'll get it right.
And it was on the coffee pot, and it was at WGSO.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm just looking at your almanac. That's an interesting little tidbit of information.
What was that WG?
It was at WGSO today. Well, you were WGSO for the beginning of your career. Did you do the vignettes before you actually got a regular gig?
Yes, but you could take one more thing on WWNO, which was the radio station at UNO, which is where I had been.
Yeah.
And I went in there, and I had a couple of ideas about doing a food thing. They never would go for that.
You mean to do a show about food?
To do anything about food. Uh-huh. They just thought it was ridiculous, and people who were going to do that would be like stuck on it or, something like that.
So did you talk them into a little vignette at WWNO?
WWO, no, they wouldn't go for anything.
So then the first gig that you got was at GSO doing the vignettes.
Oh, okay. It was a little opinion piece three times
a
week.
It was like a restaurant review. The vignette was like a restaurant review.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a radio restaurant review.
And then the second thing was an actual restaurant review. One of them was just like I gave some opinions about all kinds of stuff, not just food.
Oh, God.
And I only got away with that because the station was running short.
Wild opinions.
They didn't have enough things like that in there. And they said, why don't you take up this? And I said, how about this food idea? And they said, oh, that might have some filter.
Some possibilities. Okay,
yeah.
This is then the first day that you officially did the first one of those food restaurant critic review of restaurant vignettes on WGSO.
Yeah, something like that.
And it was the coffee pot. That's the first
one
you did.
Going to the coffee pot. That's right. It was the very first one.
The coffee pot. Too bad you don't have those anywhere.
Yeah, it really is. It turns out I do have a lot of the scripts.
You do?
I don't have them recorded. I have the scripts, though.
Where?
I was digging around in my office.
Do you really?
I really do. As a matter of fact,
They exist this day.
And I even know what envelope it's in.
Really?
My favorite of these were some just really out there kind of things. And
you're going to have to put your finger on those after this show, Tom.
Yeah. The coffee pot was one of them.
You're definitely going to have to. You're going to have to find that for me after this show.
The red onion was another one.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was one of it. There were three I did a week.
Wow.
And how is it that I remember things like that and don't remember things that are so
like
much?
Like something I just told you yesterday. Well, I am not a neurosurgeon, so 260-6368 is the number you are listening to. You know, the usual blather about food.
Yes.
Here on WWL HD2. Mm-hmm. I'm just sort of plumbing the depths of your almanac here, but I do have that important question, or at least it's important to me, and I did get a text from someone. I get so many texts during the show from people who want to comment, but don't want to go on the air for one reason or another. This one is excused because they can't go on the air right now, but hopefully later. The question is, if you are in a restaurant and
I make a run for it,
and you walk in and you just say, these are not my people, and you automatically assess a place by the clientele, because it's absolutely true that there are certain restaurants that attract certain clientele. That's been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And in this city now, since Katrina, there is definitely a hipster element. And you see that at certain restaurants. It's very clear. And then the rest of the restaurants are not. And it's just kind of fascinating to observe that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was particularly struck by this Friday, because on Friday I had lunch with someone at Saba, which definitely is a place that would attract the young global cuisine kind of clientele. And then at dinner, I had dinner at the Bon Ton, which was
there
nothing but traditional New Orleans families who have loved the Bon Ton for generations.
Oh, how did
it
that
was
go?
Big tables of kids and grandparents and everything in between. And it just could not have been more stark to me, the difference in those two groups of people. And I think that there are probably lots of other places for whom It's not so stark. Like most restaurants, I think probably you will have a mix of people. But there are certain restaurants that definitely do attract, particular, be it old or young, be it, you know, like a biker bar, for example. There's a place on the North Shore that really attracts bikers. And they're the first, you walk in, that's the first thing that you see. It's a long bar, and it's like a biker bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the restaurant in the back
might
be doing something totally different,
mm-hmm.
but you go through the biker bar, and it's like, wow.
I've seen that a few times.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's like, what is it about restaurants that attract certain kinds of people?
I don't know.
Be it old, young, hipster, biker, you know, whatever. But, I mean, there's a saying that goes back, I'm sure, to the beginning of the time, birds of a feather flock together. And that's true. I think we do associate with certain groups of people.
Only in the association.
And it's interesting. Does that affect your willingness to go back to a place if you walk in and can't really identify with anyone else in there?
I've known some people who are omnipresent, eat anything, try anything, and when I say anything, I mean everything.
Yeah.
And I can't get my head around it, even to begin.
Yeah.
So, but to each his own. That's why I guess there are more than.
You know, we went to NOLA last week.
Yep.
And that was just a mix of just all kinds of people.
Yeah, it
wasn't
a good mix.
Any one particular kind of person in there. It was absolutely a mix of every kind of person. So it's interesting. Why does NOLA have a mix like that? And Saba has pretty much a homogeneous client. You know, the opposite of that would be the elder situation at the Peppermill,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people were put off by because there were so many old people there. That's been going on at the Peppermill forever.
For as long as I can remember.
Yeah. You know, I think does a good job, which is not as hip a restaurant, but also is just a mix of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Porter and Luke. I think that they're...
Yeah. It's a huge menu.
You go in there, you see kids, you see young people, you see a lot of old
boys,
people. You
hamburgers.
It's a regular person kind of place. So I'm just kind of curious, what is it, do you think, about certain restaurants that attract just a specific kind of person? 260-6368.
If I knew that, I would have a much more successful radio
richer.
Show.
WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice on The Food Show on WWL Radio, also 105.3 FM. through? I haven't done that one before. 102.3 F.
Well, you got to give yourself this time. You never repeat yourself, that's for sure.
Bang.
It just.
Anyway, it's nice to be here with you talking about food with Mary Ann and everybody.
Mary Ann and
Mary
Ann.
And yes. Ann. Is that your, I guess it is, isn't it?
Tom, what is Shirashi Sushi? Try to say that. Shirashi Sushi.
Shirashi Sushi, if I'm not mistaken, I might be. I haven't been going to sushi bars the way I used to.
Mm-hmm.
It is the kind of sushi where here's the piece of chicken. Oh, not chicken. The piece
fish.
Of fish. And here's another one. And here's another one. And they're split apart by, maybe an inch or so. And this sets up a difference between the two, so it looks like a bundle with a lot of just scattered about.
Whereas, it the same fish in the inside?
Yeah. Now I might
What's the point of that?
Just to put it all there and not have to do the heavy design. Uh-huh. It would be one reason for it.
Okay, folks, let's do a little Shirashi Sushi here. It is
Doug, let me hear you say it twice.
Shirashi Sushi. You know, that's hard to say, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
Yes, it is. Yes,
hard enough to do it once.
That's right. It's easier to read than it is to say. But anyway, it is all kinds of different fish and things like that, all on a bed of rice. Instead of being wrapped around, on top of a rice ball of some kind or another, it is on a bed of rice, usually served in some kind of a wooden vessel, square.
I had a feeling that I would blow this one and not get that one right, because I didn't. And I knew darn well what that is, because when I go and get sushi, that's usually the way I get it. Because you carry your own basket, and everything is...
Well, what is Shirashi? Is it a place?
Well, it isn't what I thought it was.
Is it a place that it's named after?
It is a mode of presentation. It's the presentation of how the sushi is presented to you, okay?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
Like a basket in it.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So a Shirashi is a basket.
And it has some eggs in it, and it has some vegetables of various kinds. But it has everything is already mixed, as opposed to most sushi, where they do it right in front of you, put it, and then put a second thing right next to them, and it's
and they roll it.
Some
it's not
like
a roll.
Them.
Come on, there's no rolls in that at all. It's just the raw whatever. Okay,
all
that's
right.
It. Okay, on a bed of rice, nothing more. That's it.
Wow, tough.
All right.
Tough,
anything else
on the line today?
How about Creole cream cheese right now, huh?
It Creole is Creole cream cheese.
It's made with skim milk, buttermilk, and rennet. Skim milk,
yes,
buttermilk, and
rennet.
Yes. Now, cream cheese is made with cream instead of buttermilk, so that's the difference between the two. Now, with the rennet in there, it is a little bit more tart than cream cheese is.
Uh-huh.
It's what?
So it has nothing to do with rats.
No rats.
No, rennet. It's not even spelled that way.
You know, I was thinking about things that are disgusting last night.
It's not
night.
Disgusting.
No,
it's
no,
not
no.
that bad.
No, not rennet, but like if it was rats involved in it. Last night, and I've done this frequently, in order to ingest the proper number of vegetables, I have taken to boiling bone broth, as in chicken bones. And then we go through a lot of rotisserie chicken here. And the chicken bones always go into a pot. And I throw vegetables of every imaginable variety in there. There are people who get excited about a lot of things. I'm embarrassed to say that I get excited by the amount of vegetables, the different kinds I ingest in the course of a day. That's kind of sad when you think about it.
Well, why would,
anyway,
what would possibly be wrong with eating more vegetables?
Yeah, but like to be as titillated by it as I am, there is something wrong with that. So anyway, I boil this pot of chicken bone broth with all of these vegetables in it. And I like to count up the number of vegetables. Anyway, and I will drink like a cup of this, especially if it's a cold day, frequently, okay? So I've been using, after I take a cup of it, I've been putting more water in it so that I could just make it up. And then it reminded me that it's the bone broth version of a sourdough starter, which I think is kind of the most disgusting thing I can think of, a sourdough starter. And I am absolutely nuts about sourdough. It's probably my favorite bread. But the idea of a sourdough starter is something that I have to push way, way down in my consciousness in order to eat sourdough. But I was just thinking about that as kind of what I was doing with the bone broth. You just, you know, keep the same thing on the stove and you just keep adding some water to it. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. As usual, we are talking about nothing. We're talking about food in all kinds of bizarre connected ways.
Did when we were talking about the sushi thing, what was the name of it again? I'm not trying to sneak
Shirashi sushi. Shirashi. Don't make sushi. Me say it again. Shirashi sushi.
Yeah.
Try to say that two or three times.
Shirashi
folks.
Sushi. Shirashi sushi. This is it. This is the word.
Uh-huh.
And this has been my favorite kind of sushi for quite a while. Uh-huh. I just haven't gotten it lately, so it made me seem foolish out there.
So you're going to go ahead and get some Shirashi sushi.
So next time I go to my favorite sashi place.
You think your tongue's already messed up.
Shirashi. Here it is.
Shirashi.
Shirashi.
Shirashi. Shirashi sushi.
Shirashi.
That's a toughie.
Shirashi.
That's a real toughie. 260-6368. We will not be fielding your attempts to say that. You have to practice a little bit before you call up.
All right. I can stand up to that.
Yes. We were talking about Creole cream cheese and clabber and buttermilk and all of those cream kinds of things, if anyone has anything to say about that. What is monkfish?
Monkfish is a species of fish that lives largely in the Lake Pontchartrain and the the Mississippi.
The bayous, the bays, the bayous and bays around here.
Yeah, all of that. And it is a...
Do you like it? Is it a white fish?
It is actually quite good. And it doesn't look like any... And it kind of has this evil look to it. It has this...
Well, by the time it comes to your plate, only the insides are there anyway. So it's not like you know
what
its face looks like, unless it's one of those big, whole, crispy fish.
I'll bet you that there is somebody listening to us right now who loves
Oh, wait a second.
What?
Wait a second. Is that the thing that G.W. Finn's has as a dinner every whenever they get it?
You're very close. It's very close. What you're thinking about...
A goofy-looking fish.
It is a very strange-looking fish. And it also has a second name, and that is lobster fish. And in New York City...
They make a big deal of it whenever they can get it.
Yeah, that's right.
And now it's going to drive me crazy. Are you sure it's not monkfish? Because
it's related, and if you ate it, you would like it. It's this ugly looking, monstrous looking fish, but there's really not a lot to it. But it does have a good flavor, really good flavor.
And is it like a flaky white fish? Is it a thick fillet when it comes to the table?
It's only about this big to begin with. And then it has pull, you know, like fillets almost. You can pull them out of the sides, and that's.
Is
how
it normally fried or sautéed?
No, broiled.
Or grilled?
Broiled more than any other that I've seen, anyway.
And does it have a flavor similar to, like, an oily kind of fish, or is it a light flavor?
If I were going to put it into a category, it would be oil. It would be the one.
Okay, and that's kind of like, what is that other oily fish that you really like?
Well, let's see.
I don't want you to get into the story about it, but there's a fish that you...
Halibut?
You constantly reference.
Halibut?
No, Tom, not that one. That's halibut. Not an oily fish. I love that fish. So that's
Me
a flaky
too.
White fish with a mild flavor. Naturally, Doug will roll his eyes at this. But you're not here, Doug, so I can't see you roll your eyes. But I don't really like oily fish. I like,
not everybody
I'm
does.
I'm one of those people that would have been a good test market for the fillet of fish, because I like fish that doesn't really taste that much
quality,
like fish.
There's a quality of these fish.
Except for salmon. I do like salmon.
It doesn't, you know, it really doesn't have any true fact about what I'm going to say. But if you decided to, that it was, it messed you up a little bit, there is this to put before you. The male of these fish often are being eaten by the females.
And when it's a common story, isn't it?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah. You just yeast it and spit it out. That's it.
260-6368. I mentioned a little while ago about my lunch. What?
Chirashki?
No, chirashi sushi. Hey,
chirashi sushi,
that was pretty
yeah.
good. I've been, that was I've a perfect been exercising. One, yeah. Chirashi sushi. Yeah. It's tough, I got to say. It's really tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was talking about lunch at Saba, which was the featured article on nomenu.com today.
And what was it? Say it again.
The lunch I had at Saba.
Saba, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what I mentioned in the article was that I prefer Shaya to Saba. And I was also going to throw out for people to call if they had a preference of those two. And if they did, what it was about each of them that made them prefer one over the other. Because the food is very, it's very similar, but the vibe is very different, and I just was kind of curious to see if anyone else has chosen one or the other of those when they are looking to have food like that, and if you have, what were the determining factors in making that choice?
All right, let's get back to the fish.
Chirashi sushi.
Chirashi sushi. Anyway, Saba.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you I'm nuts about it.
Yeah.
It's a good place. It's a little expensive. Indoors can be really brown and really loud in there. But I would say every time I've been there, I've enjoyed it. And also the people who are with me.
Yeah.
And let's see, there was one aspect of it, too, that, and as you know, there are several of these that kind of grew out of one of them.
Shaya became Saba.
Yeah.
And the food moved over.
Yeah, Shaya, that's the good one for my money.
But I agree. I prefer Shaya over Saba, and I was wondering if other people had that feeling, too, and my question would be why.
Well, they want it because they're trying to get the information. That's why.
I will say that I think that that I prefer Shaya because I think it's more of a locals hangout.
Yeah.
And it's got more of that eclectic clientele than Saba. It's not nearly as hip as Saba. It was hip when it opened, but it's not as hip now as it was. And I like that. I mean, I like hip, but I like not hip, too. That makes sense. 260-6368. So monkfish is something that I should try when I go to a restaurant if I see it.
Yeah,
would you see? Would you see a monkfish?
What?
Would you see a monkfish any place other than a place like G.W. Finn's, for example, where they have every kind of imaginable fish?
You wouldn't see it a lot down here, but you certainly would at G.W. Finn's. They
source their fish from all over.
All over the place, but they have some things that you never see any other place other than
that's
there.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think this monkfish is actually something that they build a dinner off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that they have a special, and it's one of those, we're talking about crispy whole fish.
Crispy whole fish.
We were talking about crispy whole fish. And I think that is one of the things that they do there. They do a specific presentation of monkfish, and it is fried whole, and it's crispy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, anyway. I'm with you on all of this.
Yeah, 260-6368 is the number. So, of our budding buffet of a show, the following things I would like some calls on if anyone would
All right.
be interested in
Let's
doing
see what we
that.
Get.
Do you like Creole cream cheese? If you eat Creole cream cheese, where do you find Creole cream cheese?
Local supermarkets is the answer to that. Not so much the ones that are in the national...
National chains? Well, yeah. Rouse's for sure would probably have it.
Yeah, they would.
Because that would... They're big into their local stuff. Very big into that. That's the first question. The second one is, I was struck on Friday by...
Who was it? I'm going to fix him.
The two meals that I had, one of which was at Saba for lunch, and the other was at Bon-Ton for dinner. And if ever there were two different kinds of places to attract two different kinds of people, those would be them. And it was fascinating for me as a frustrated sociologist about what it is about certain restaurants that draw certain clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a self-perpetuating thing. You have the restaurant, you have the clientele. You have new people that come to the restaurant. They'll either feel comfortable there or not, and they become a regular or not. And then your restaurant becomes sort of a draw for a certain kind of clientele that is associated with that clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering if other people noticed such things, and if they do, are they affected by that? Like, would you ever go to a restaurant and look around the room and say, you know, I'm not going to stay here because I don't feel comfortable here?
If I were a restaurateur and somebody told me that, I would say, okay, well, we ought to take a look at our work a little bit, perhaps. But that's a nice thing to hear from a customer, because they don't like to hear complaining.
Well, you think that's a good thing, that a restaurant has a particular clientele and there's an aura about it, which is I'll tell you another place that's really, really like that.
Yeah.
Levy Baking Co.
Levy?
Levy. It's a little bakery.
Uh-huh.
It's a bakery on the side street. I want to say 9th Street off of Magazine. And it is divine is the only word for it. It is flaky. It's like a flaky fantasy. I mean, puff pastry done to
that nice, huh?
It's done to perfection.
It's on the levee side of 9th Street. 9th Street and where is that?
It's you know that building. You know where Rum House is, which is another one that's definitely attracting specifically younger people, but it's also got kind of a mix of people too. Everybody goes to the Rum House. I don't know why, but they do. But Levy is across the side street, and I love what is in the case there, and I feel like I've just come from another planet when I'm there. I totally do. I absolutely do. But I still go in, and I don't stay, but I do pick up the food because it's great, and I really like it.
But anyway, a good tip, I hope?
Saba is 180 from where I had dinner at the Bon Ton, and I just find that a fascinating thing. The Peppermill has that going.
Yep.
They've been, quote, old person thing forever.
But their food is good.
Their food is good.
And their office.
Their food is good.
their source. What source? What are you talking
about? But it's like an old person would walk in and they'd say, okay, I feel comfortable here. And so that's kind right. of that's kind of really perpetuated itself
it really
to
has.
Where the yeah. clientele there kind of is run off if they're not that, which is unfortunate. And that is that's the other example of the extreme that I'm talking about. Porter & Luke, a good example of one that runs across the board. It's that, like, you know, hey, we're real people here. We're not any one particular thing. We have kids. We have parents. We have elderly people. We have everything here. And it's interesting that there are certain restaurants that do that well, which I think should be the goal, to have a really eclectic mix of diners.
Yeah, but, I do too.
But if there's one particular kind, I definitely do notice it. Yeah. I definitely do.
Loud is when... That's what Tom notices. It is. It's time to take a little break for the, let's see, the
Top of the
Devil
Hour
Mask
News.
And,
the Top of the Hour News. We'll be back for another hour after that. 260-6368 if you want to pick up one of these banana pudding dishes off of the... Let's make it a buffet. We can really
right,
knock
sure,
it out of the
not.
Park the next hour. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.